Morning, Councilman.
Morning.
Morning. In accordance with our government meeting procedures, regulation 2015, notice is hereby given that an ordinary meeting of Central Highlands Council is scheduled to be held in the Council Chamber on Tuesday, 15th of July 2025, commencing at 9 a.m. with the business of the meeting to be in accordance with the following agenda. Paper. In accordance with the local government meeting procedures, regulation 2015, part 2, division 1, a notice of the meeting was published on the council website on 1st August 2024. General manager's certification pursuant to section 65(1) of the local government act 1993, I hereby certify with respect to the advice, information and or recommendation provided with the guidance of council in this agenda, that A, such advice, information and or recommendation has been given by a person who has the qualifications or experience necessary to give such advice, and B, where an advice is given by a person who does not have the required qualifications or experience, that person has obtained and taken into account the advice from an approximately qualified or experienced person. Section 65(2) forbids council from deciding any matter which requires the advice of a qualified person without considering the advice. This was dated on the 10th of July at Hamilton by Stephen Mackey, the acting general manager. We will be changing the order of the agenda a little today, but that's okay too. The audio recording disclaimer, I won't go through all that, but I will say that the mayor advises the meeting and members of the public that council meetings not including closed sessions are audio recorded and published on council's website in accordance with council's policy 2017-50. The mayor also advises that members of the public are not permitted to make audio recordings of council meetings without prior approval from their granted acknowledgement of country. I acknowledge the traditional owners of land in Tasmania and Aboriginal people, past, present and future. I would like now to report of the sad passing of one of our councillors just recently, if you would please stand for 1 minute silence in respect of council.
Conduct of council meetings. Central Highlands Council takes safety seriously. We have a duty to ensure that we provide a safe workplace for our employees, councillors, contractors and members of the public while choosing the council workplaces. These premises form part of the council's workplace and it is expected that everyone who attends council meetings will behave in a polite, respectful manner. People should refrain from using offensive or derogatory language or comments and not be aggressive, threatening or speak in a hostile manner. The
one present is myself, Deputy All Right, Councillor Harford, Councillor Bonner, Councillor Merchant, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Hall, Acting General Manager Stephen, Katrina, who was CEO. In the gallery we have our planning with Louisa, we have Damien Mackey, and in the gallery we have Steve Lurie, and of course, there's apologies, it's no longer Councillor Archer, but he's here, but we've got Councillor Miller, who's arrived in the group. Consideration of the tender that's new. Three is declaration of pecuniary interest and conflict of interest by councillors and staff. In accordance with the requirements of Part 2 Regulation of Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the chairperson of the meeting is to request councillors to indicate whether they have or are likely to have a pecuniary or conflict of interest in any item. Do I have any? Councillor Moore.
9.1. And 14.2.
And 14.2. Thank you, Councillor. Any others, Councillors? Councillor Archer.
Yes, Mayor, 9.1 and similarly 14.2.
9.1 and?
14.2, isn't it?
14.2. Any others?
Yes, I have one in the closed meeting, 4.2.
4.2 closed. Is there a second there, Stephen? Any others? No? Very good. Thank you. All right. Minutes. Confirmation of draft ordinary minutes by Councillor 17th of June. May I have a note, please? Councillor Honour. Second hour, Councillor Cassidy. Any comments to those minutes? Councillor Miller. As a second, Councillor Cassidy. No. Councillor Laws. Any comments? Okay, please raise your hand in favour of the recommendation. Please raise your hands in favour of the recommendation. That is passed. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Notification of council workshops held. There are new future workshops. To be confirmed, the proposed next council workshop will be held on the following date. We haven't confirmed it. Have we, sir?
No.
No. Public question time. As you know, I won't read pages and pages of this. Is there any questions within the public gallery? No. Well, I won't go through all that.
Mayor, I've made a mistake, I'm sorry. It was 9.1 and 15.1 was my other potential conflict.
15.1, Councillor?
Yes.
Okay. So, not 14.2, 15.1, Councillor Archer. Alrighty, now I'd like a mover to move the agenda to item 16. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. So the agenda goes to 16. Preparation of matters arising from the economic development, 16.1, the development and environmental services. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Honour, Councillor Merchant. Any comment there, Councillor Honour, as a mover?
No.
Councillor Merchant, as a seconder?
No, I've got comments on that.
Okay, so the recommendation for the report of the DES services report we received, please raise your hands in favour. Okay, that is carried. Thank you. 16.2 is the Township Structure Planning, the Vinyl Structure Plan, and we welcome you, Damien, our planning consultant.
Mayor, I'm just wondering, is Damien going to speak to this?
Yes. So the mover to that, to go into that, was.
Okay, Councillor Meacham. Welcome back. I'll have the councillors move first and comment. Would that be the best? Yep. Okay. The mover is Councillor Cassidy. Would you like to speak to that, Councillor Cassidy?
Regarding the structure plan, morning, Damien. I noticed, just for consistency, they listed in Waco, for example, two different references to the population.
Can you?
I noticed in the information provided in the structure plan, they specified two different populations for Bothwell. And I just think that, you know, as a professional document, all of that stuff should be consistent. The information should be consistent.
Okay, saying there's an inconsistency.
Say again.
There's an inconsistency?
Yes, in population for Bothwell as an example. You know, I think it just needs a bit of proofreading here and there.
I can speak to that.
Okay, Councillor Mitchell, you were seconded.
Okay, I can speak to that. The inconsistency relates.
Can you speak up, please?
The inconsistency relates to consideration of Bothwell strictly the township versus Bothwell the district. Mm. And so I think it vacillates between the two, and I'll occasionally caught out the same. That the district is really quite densely populated.
Yeah.
So we really need to be referring to the township population, not the district.
Mm.
Okay.
In your view, is it clear when it's referring to the township?
No, it's not. And so that's a small thing that does really need seen to. And if I may, in relation to, as the second for it, I think it's a great study, considering that it's done by people who aren't local, and I mean, we'd be flat out finding anybody capable locally to do it. Overall, I think it's got great promise. I mean, I acknowledge the input of so many fellow councillors, including myself, Robert, to getting it to this point.
Thank you, Councillor Wright.
Can I move to suspend standing orders? Because this is very important.
Yeah.
Second the community of the local government council.
So you're moving?
To suspend standing orders.
To suspend standing orders.
Question done.
I'll second that, Mayor.
And you'll second that, Councillor Archer.
Well, let's see what going with this. This because, I've said this to Damien, I found it difficult. Like, all the recommendations are there, but they're just scattered all over the place. There's no, it's difficult to unpack it all. And there's a lot of repetitiveness. But basically, take your mask off, you'll be able to hear better. It's as we've discussed as a community. It's really odd, even the bus is still there, we're just going to unpack it.
I suppose one of the questions, the fundamental question is, I mean, do we think they're ready to be adopted? With a few minor tweaks, or do we want to go back and do a complete re-edit? I think one way forward would be to potentially adopt them. Look, if there's a few obvious tweaks that need to be changed, like the referencing to the populations and minor things, that could probably be changed. But then what we could do once we adopt them is to have a synopsis of each.
Well, that's what I was thinking. Like, we can have a recommendation for each town. It's just a recommendation.
Yes, we could internally
rather than just all the recommendations being scattered around everywhere.
Yeah, and they are quite long documents as well, so like a 2 or 3 page synopsis of that we could just generate internally.
We don't have to recreate the background for each town, recreate the methodology for them. We don't have to do that.
Councillor Archer is a second. Do you have a comment? And then it's Council Cassidy.
Well, I'm keen to hear Damien's views, but and also whether there should not be further discussion, you know, community discussion with, before the council formally adopt the plan. I'd like to see, you know, for instance, that we look more outside the town boundaries in areas like Wattle, where there are some opportunities to further enhance things and make some, an increased flexibility, I guess. But I'm very keen to hear Damien first, if that's okay. And,
that's fine, and I'll hear Councillor Cassidy, and then we'll go back to Damien.
Yes, Damien. You know, generally speaking, I think the report put a lot of work into it, and it reads well, except for one of the typos, if you will, or incorrect data. But what this is just a template. It's just a framework for the future and also the other towns throughout the Central Highlands municipality. So with that in mind, I think it would be preferred to approve it as it is and then submit amendments that make those changes. I think that would probably be a better way to go. Again, it's a template. And I think that was our initial objective, to establish a template.
Thank you, Councillor Meakin.
Yeah, look, I'd be keen for us to adopt it. And it's the matter of, you know, forward planning is always subject to revisions and, you know, knockbacks from state government. I think in particular, you know, the difficulties around rezoning, for example. We've got some hard work ahead of us in relation to those things, so the sooner we adopt it, the more we're enabled to get some of that work done. And I'm particularly conscious of developing new accommodation, particularly Bothell and Ernst, relative to the developments that are ahead, the economic growth that's ahead.
Any other councillors
before we
go back to the room? Okay, I'll go back to the
mover. I'm happy to adopt it, and Damien could sort of tweak the presentation. This is my view, to, you know, rather than get the authors to sort of do a recommendation for each town. There was something else that's escaping Damien. What is it? Anyway, I'm happy just to adopt it, and we could sort of just tweak up. Oh, yeah, what happened to Mark Farber's report and all those other?
That's mentioned as one of the four attachments.
But they didn't come through.
I suppose Mark Farber's report is more a municipality-wide socio-economic development strategy.
Yeah.
I think some things have come through. But yeah, that is a new lot of information, I suppose. I think in the process of, I think it would be good for us to have a synopsis. I could generate a 2 or 3 page synopsis of each plan.
Executive summary.
To focus in on the recommendations, and that can help us think through those, and especially thinking about the implementation of those. And yeah, the hackneyed saying is that these things are living documents.
Dynamic.
And so we may well then, in some shortish amount of time, want to actually tweak some of the recommendations in there when we're able to sit down and focus hard on them. What I was going to say, a few big comments, Mayor, is that they've got a vision for each town. They've got short, medium, and long-term recommendations for each town, and they're divided up into the three fundamental things that councils find themselves able to do: implementation strategies, which are things that council actually does do and has 100% control of. Then there are other things which we just are facilitators. So we're really relying on other people to do things, entities, private sector, and so on. The state government, but we can't really control it, but we can facilitate. And then the other thing is advocate, and that's really talking to the state government and sometimes the federal government too, trying to get them to move on certain things, like where we are a little bit at their mercy, for example, things like medical facilities. So they're the three kind of things we can do, and it's often the case when we do the community consultation that members of the public seem to think the council can do everything and know everything and are all powerful, but we're not. We're just players. You know, some things we are all powerful, other things, most things actually, we're probably not. So that's important to keep those short, medium, long term and implement, facilitate and advocate ideas in mind as well. And the other bigger thing is that councils, I think small towns here in Central Islands, they are small compared to other towns around Tasmania, and they are all struggling. They have been slowly, some of our towns have been slowly dying over the last 30 or 40 years. When you think of what Hoos used to be, how many kids used to go to the school there, you know, a medical facility up and running properly, new houses being built in the past, and I always think that towns are like living organisms, and like living organisms that are either dying or they're growing. There's no embalming of towns and wanting them to stay as sort of museum pieces to some era. And councils, what councils do, we till the earth. We try and get the circumstances right for the generally the private sector to risk money to develop these towns and to build new businesses. And one of the great things about Hoos is that someone actually does want to build a new post office and store. That's a huge bright spark for the future, that someone actually wants to risk money to do that in one of our towns. So that's a sign of hope. But what councils do is till the earth, try and get the circumstances right for the private sector to then build houses, risk money, build businesses, help the towns grow again. So that's what these documents are. They're us trying to till the earth, fertilise the earth, and get the circumstances right so that the towns can grow and have a long-term future, not a long-term death.
Okay.
Just to interrupt there, Damon, I also see this as helping inform our strategic plan.
Yes.
To assist us in terms of seeking grant funds, it's been made very clear to us that if things aren't written down as part of our strategic plan, which will be informed for the townships by this document, then it's much harder for us to attract grant funding, which provides so much of our income and our development capital.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important that the document be broad enough to inform our strategic plan and make our capacity to attract those grant funds easier.
Yeah, and having an adopted structure plan, and within it is an initiative where maybe the state government has to fund it or at least facilitate it, and we can go to the government and say, we've worked with the community, we've come up with this overall plan for this town, and it says this is important and we should do it. That does give politicians comfort to note that these things have been floated with the community already. And it's been thought about in a bigger strategic sense, and that an answer has been arrived at. So, the structure plans will help us advocate for things, and will help us facilitate things, and help us to actually implement things.
Thank you. Could we? Oh, sorry,
Councillor
Cassidy.
Yes, sir. I wanted to say that, you know, you've really been an advocate for the town structure plan, I feel. And very, very instrumental in guiding us. And the state government does not have to necessarily act on any of this, it's just to inform them. But let's say when the day comes that you have washed your hands of council and no longer advocating for us, I sort of feel like we lose the voice, or we lose a voice of reason, or someone who can reinforce the implications of the town structure plan. And do you feel that it's robust enough to replace your voice, your advocacy?
I'm not really the advocate. I'm the person behind the scenes, I suppose. It's probably the elected representatives of the people that are the true advocates for the community. But I think these structure plans are great starting points, and yes, we might evolve them. We might do some changes to them over the next 12 months. once we are able to sit down and think about them all in detail and their implementation. But yeah, I don't know how long I'll be around for in the background. I'm sure the council will be right.
So I think Damien will be around for a while. Of course, there's other grant programs that Damien is working on. The that'll feed on this as well.
Yes,
and our strategic plans.
So that's the other big initiative, is to try and get that large bucket of money from the federal government to progress a whole lot of things, and not just for these three towns as well. That's a precinct-wide, a municipality-wide bucket of money that hopefully we might be able to get.
When's the submission date on that?
Sorry?
When does that have to be submitted?
There's no deadline, but there is the next round. We've been informed that the next round of the federal government agency doing an assessment of these applications is in September.
Okay.
So we need to get our socks on and finalise a grant. So just on that, Madam Mayor, I did meet with the local Regional Development Australia Tasmania representative, and it's through that entity that the federal government have eyes and ears on the ground, so to speak, for the purposes of this grant application. So I've got some good advice there, and we've got a bit of a draft of an application that's starting to come together, which will bring to council at some point soon.
Thank you for that. Thank you. All right. Could we resume standing orders to item over, please? Councillor Manchin, Councillor Cassidy. And we go back to 16.
Well, have we structure plan?
Yep.
Yeah.
16, yes.
All those in favour of resuming?
Raise your hands, carry it, thank you.
We've got to spend your time with it. Town Structure Planning. We've got a move with Councillor Cassidy and Councillor
Leeson. Number 16,
isn't it? 16. That's a government plan story.
Yeah, exactly.
16.2, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, we've got confusion with our numbers. Now we're right. Okay, 16.2 is the town structure plan. It was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Meacham. As the move of Councillor Cassidy, do you have any comments?
Nothing more to say, thank you.
Councillor, as the second, Councillor Meacham.
Fully in favour of us getting it passed now so that we can get down to the nuts and bolts of the recommendation.
Thank you.
No, we've got to put the motion down.
Now I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. That is carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciate moving the motion forward because I do have to be somewhere else.
Thank you.
Thank you.
17. All right, 17 is operational matters arising, strategic theme, governance and leadership. 17.1 is the collaborative.
We've got to go back to
We've got to go back again, sorry.
Sorry, through you, Mayor, as we move into item 9 to do with the planning.
We could move to item 9. We could move the agenda. Could I have a Councillor Cassidy Meacham? We'll go back to 9. I do have a lot of paper here. Council acting, this is on 9. Council acting as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning and Improvements Act 1993 and Council's statutory land use planning scheme. In accordance with Regulation 25.1 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, the Mayor advises that the Council intends to act as a planning authority under Land Use Planning and Improvements Act 1993 to deal with the following items. Move a place. Councillor. Councillor Honour move, Councillor Meacham second, and we have Councillor Archer and Hall who are leaving the room. As the mover, Councillor Honour, any comments?
No,
please second that, Councillor Machin. Any comments?
Yes, look, I see this development as very favourable for the economic. We've had a call, Councillor Cassidy, you made a call recently for economic development, your attention to economic development.
We're only talking right now about the planning authority. We're not talking about the development.
Are we?
Could you just go forward? Councillor Merchant, back to you.
Yep, that's fine. That we move to deal with those items, that's fine.
You've spoken, Councillor Merchant, have you?
Right. Thank you.
Councillor Cassidy.
I was just wanting to move on number 9. 9.1, rather.
So, first of all, recommendation for number item 9.
Yeah. So we've got the 9.1 here?
We haven't. We've still got to accept 9.
Excuse me, we still need to raise your hands in favour of recommendation 9, please. Okay, that is carried. Now we go to 9.1, development application for solar farm, Wessel Plains. The recommendation, in accordance with the provisions of the Tasmanian Planning Scheme, Central Highlands, and Section 57 of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993, Council approved the development application DA 2024-55 for solar farm development and associated infrastructure and facilities at land described as Wessel Plains, and that a permit be issued with the following conditions, which you have all read. Moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Merchant. This is you, Louisa. Do you want to join us for any questions that may arise?
Yes.
Thank you. As you know, Louisa is our planner.
Can I move for a suspension of standing orders to allow for a conversation with Louisa?
Yes.
So moved.
Move for standing orders.
Yeah.
Councillor Manchin. Councillor, all right, was it? Okay. Councillor Manchin, all right. Those in favour, moving to standing orders. All righty, that is passed. Okay. Righty-o. So we go back to the mover, Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I have a number of issues. I'm going to bless this. I think it's a good development, and as David said, it certainly will spur economic development and opportunity. I just wanted to point out that as I was going through it, and even though I transfer these documents to my computer, my monitor, a fairly large monitor and public record, I found many of the attachments were blurred and illegible, hard to read. But anyway, I wanted to point out some odd things that I think that are really important. On page 101, for example, of I think 966, this proposal is not expected to generate any unreasonable or significant community impacts. I would like to perhaps give the developer something to think about. Traffic delays along Highland Lakes Road between the Midland Highway and the site entry points. I think that needs to be seriously considered. I don't believe that we should inconvenience regular commuters and people that are going for hospital appointments and so on and so forth. I would urge that some assessment be done to assure that locals will not be unfairly influenced when they will proceed to make money. Also, I quote, as it is well concealed from a public view, I want to ask about light pollution. Light pollution from the perspective of Yeah. Looking skyward to preserve astronomical observation opportunities. There have been the Astronomical Society that has contacted me more than once about coming to Bothwell to observe, and I've brought that up in council meetings previously, and so I would like to be sure that there's not an excess light pollution visible from Bothwell for the purposes of astronomical observation. Also, they give various distances from the site insofar as visibility. Another development, Cattle Hill Wind Farm, as you drive the Midland Highway up to Bothwell, there is a point there that you can actually see it from 35 miles away. And I just wanted to be sure that, how much impact should we have on the Tasmanian landscape. Other point that I want to bring out is page 102. There's a couple of confusing numbers there. And I'm not sure what they're asking for. Are they actually asking for 3,841 hectares to be blessed in this VA, which is 9,491 acres? Or are they only talking about 432 hectares, which is only 1,067 acres? I would like to be sure that we're absolutely clear on what they're seeking approval for. Because are they assuming, indefinite expansion of this? I'd just like clarification on that. Let's see here. Also, roadworks. I think that's on page 16. I've already talked about the traffic issue. The roadworks, I'd like to be sure that it includes any sweeping or removal of gravel or stones from the construction site onto the Highland Lakes Highway so as it doesn't cause any vehicular damage from other vehicles going up and down the highway, school buses, breaking their windscreens and so forth. I think that's pretty much it on my list. If those things could be included, I'm happy to bless this. I think it's a great, great project.
Thank you, Councillor Cassidy. I'd like Louisa to respond if she'd like to some of that.
Certainly. Thank you, Councillor. There was quite a few
points. Could you speak up, Louisa, please?
There was quite a few points to address there. Firstly, with respect to the plans being blurry, it can be sometimes the quality of images when they're compressed to come online, they do decrease a little bit. But I would like to remind everyone that during the notification period, there are always printed hard copies of the plans at the Bothwell office, and we can also have them available in the Hamilton office as well. And those plans are extremely clear, so you can always come in and see them if that's what you would like to do. In terms of impacts to the community, you mentioned page 101 and we're discussing traffic and potential delays and the like during construction, and then the maintenance of the road during construction, sweeping, etc. There are some conditions which include a traffic management plan and some additional information on engineering drawings that will be required to be supplied before the development commences. And also, we mustn't forget that the road is actually Department of State Roads Road, not Council's Road. And I'm sure that we'd be happy to work with DSG when it comes to road notifications, when traffic will be increased we can keep that information and share it with our community, possibly on our website and Facebook pages, just to keep everybody informed of when construction takes place. Light pollution, evening light pollution from the solar panels. Glare and light pollution is a bit of a tricky one. Obviously, in the application documents submitted, there is a glare report, which concludes that there won't be any significant glare.
I'm not talking about the solar panels themselves, but the lighting. There's going to be security lighting.
Yes.
So it can't be pointed skyward. It should be shielded, so it's actually...
Yes, so the security lighting around the battery.
Yeah.
Condition three.
Condition three.
Good, condition three, yes.
Yes, absolutely. So there is a condition three here, which is, does that meet your concerns?
As long as
that
it doesn't point toward the sky.
Security lighting?
As long as it doesn't point toward the night sky. That's the only thing I care about.
Well...
I mean, it's common sense. I mean, there's many people that have been talking about Tasmania for its dark skies. It's a very unique environment. You can actually make astronomical observations from here, and they've been doing it for tens of thousands of years. And I don't think that we should infringe upon Tasmania or Tasmanians or Aboriginal culture any more than we have to. So I'm just asking that they consider dark skies to maintain that.
It does say in the condition low level security lighting to be installed, and that no additional lighting can be installed without written consent of the general manager. We'd just like to add that it is the agriculture zone, it's not the general residential zone. So, for example, in the general residential zone, there are standards to reduce the glare and the visual impact of lighting.
But this is an industrial, this has become an industrial site. Let's not kid ourselves. They can graze sheep beneath it, but it's still an industrial site. They say so. It's, you know, utility, right? So.
Well, there is a condition there, Councillor, in respect to the security lighting. In terms of the confirmation of the developable area, the plans provided show a shaded area where the solar panels will be. That is what we are approving today, is that footprint of the developable area.
So that's 272 hectares, I believe, and the other one's 435.
No, it's... It is in the council report.
Is it 380? 380.
It's 220 hectares of solar arrays. In total.
Yeah.
Now it may be.
That would include the.
Excuse me, Councillor, your turn.
We're not off standard orders, sir.
Yes, it is. It says 270 hectares of solar arrays and the battery and associated infrastructure, so that would be roads and transmission lines. So, yes, we are approving that developable area, that footprint. It might mean during construction and implementation that some of those areas may move a little bit. That would be at the discretion of council, whether we believe that would be substantially in accordance, a minor amendment, or may require an additional application.
So then confirm that it's not 3,841 hectares? I mean, why even include that? That's another point that I'd like to make, is that I've noticed extremist information in there, and even political statements. We're talking about invasions, for example. I mean, I think that we need to just stick to the facts, factual information only. I think that's the only thing that we require to assess.
So, in response to that comment, I think the planning report provided by Red Seal Planning is factual. It is based on the assessment of the development application and against the standards of the scheme. So this planning report is factual.
Okay. Anything else?
All right.
The second was Councillor
Major
and then Councillor
Orr. Thank you, Mayor. In relation to traffic delays, I certainly understand that anxiety in relation to the development of the wind farms, because those vehicles will result in quite extensive traffic delays, which is why I've advocated for the firms, for the developers, to give forward notice. Although they could do it day by day by day. In relation to the solar farms, they're pretty ordinary, what are they, WB trucks or something? Yeah. We won't see those traffic delays. You'll certainly see a lot more traffic through Bothwell and possibly through the Highland Lakes, through that road. So I can't see that being a major concern. I like the report's concentration upon agri-solar. That actually reflects the town, the structure plans. They repeatedly refer to the agri-solar possibilities. That this results in better quality wool and a higher land survival rate. This development is a huge boost to the Tasmania economy. I think it was $180 million of it will be injected into the Tasmanian economy, and a fair amount of that will be into our LGA. I was looking too at just last night, I was looking at the post-secondary qualifications of people in this LGA relative to the state and to Greater Hobart. And to my surprise, it's higher, quite a bit higher, 12% higher, I think, than the state average. So there are plenty of local people who have post-secondary qualifications, and if not specific to this sort of development work, they at least are signalling a capacity to work to study at that post high school level. So there are good economic possibilities ahead for us. So in relation to running sheep under the panels, goats are far too destructive, cows are too tall, sheep are ideal. I've heard around this table this claim of that our renewable energy is ultimately going to cover 5% of agricultural land in Australia. That must include transmission lines, which I'd say would probably tally about 2% now. When the Murdoch press publish that stuff, they leave the inference that the land is being sterilised. And this is a good example, sterilised away from agricultural production. Nothing could be further from the truth, that every time you do this development, the developers want weed control for fire control reasons alone. I think this development holds great promise. In particular, I know it's going to be followed with an application for a development of an industrial estate that will provide behind-the-meter power to firms that choose to re-establish it. And this is the future of manufacturing in Australia. Access to cheap power close to the production site. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Orr.
No representations, Mayor. An economically enabling project for the district. I'm sure the developers and the Downey family will work hard to minimise the impact to the locals and even tourists using the area. It's an essential development, so no representations. One representation in favour. That's all, which okay. Surprised me because people represent it. Come out of the woodwork, Anne.
Okay, any other councillors' comments? Therefore, I shall put the recommendation forward.
Move to resume.
That was Councillor Major?
Yes.
Who seconded that?
Councillor
Orr?
Yep.
Okay, please raise your hands in favour for moving back. Okay, carry. Now we go. 9.1, we still going to that recommendation, and it was moved by Councillor Cassidy,
Second by Councillor Mitchell. Please raise your hand in favour.
I have the final rate of reply as a mover.
What was that?
I have the final rate of reply as a mover, but I've got nothing more to add. I've said nothing.
Thank you for that. Okay. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Is there anyone against? It is carried. Thank you for that.
Thanks, Louisa.
Will I return the others?
Go back to.
Now. It's been quite difficult today, but never mind. Number 10 it is, Councillor Honor.
Page is that?
Alrighty. It was moved by Councillor Honor, second by Councillor Cassidy. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alrighty, that is carried. Now I need to move back to item 7. Councillor Cassidy has moved. Councillor Bonner has seconded. Any comment, Councillor Cassidy?
No.
Councillor Bonner? No. Okay. Councillor Lawless, those in favour, going back to Councillor item 7. Raise your hands, please.
John.
That is carried. Okey-dokey, we're back to 7, which is petitions, deputations, presentations, there's none, no.
So we've got a couple in the gallery that...
No, the gallery's not...
Want to do a presentation.
Yeah. Who was that?
We've got a man in the gallery who might want to do a presentation.
Well, I haven't asked the gallery, they're two down the back of... No, I did ask earlier.
Sorry, Lou, the gallery says they can't hear.
Oh, come forward a little, please. It's very difficult to hear in here, sir.
Sure. Come forward.
Come forward. In the front row. My understanding is there's someone here from the National Party, is that correct?
Yes,
thank you. So what we might do, as we won't have it in on the agenda exactly, so we'll have morning tea and feel free to meet all the councillors and have a discussion. How's that? Okay, let's break for a morning tea. Thank you. Item number 7 is deputations, etc. Number 7.1 is petitions nil, deputations nil, petitions nil. 8 is no motions under Regulation 16 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015 relating to motions on notice. It states that a councillor may give to the general manager at least 7 days before a meeting the written notice of a motion together with supporting information and reasons to be included on the agenda of that meeting. 8.1 is notice of motion under councillor Meacham. And was this not councillor Cassidy? Did you not have this on the agenda item before?
Yes,
I'm not sure where we are.
Well, have a look at the resolution, it's not. Did you do it? The
well, I don't know what Councillor Cassidy has to say there, because I was a bit confused that he had this as an agenda item previously.
Am I going to second this then? I'll second it.
All right, okay. That would be good. So, Councillor Merchant, as
the
move, would you like to speak?
Oh, look, first off, I'll just give a report in relation to the Tasswater AGM, which I attended via Zoom. Just the key points out of that, I was alarmed to find that 9% of, only 9% of the Tasswater sewage plants meet EPA compliance. Last year, I attended the meeting that at that point the leakage from the system was 30%. They now say it's down to 29%. In other words, we are paying for almost a third of the water that goes down the drain that gets leaked out of old infrastructure.
So this is out of the meeting?
This is out of the meeting. There were 28 online attendees. What struck me there was that the whole proceedings were dominated by those who were imprisoned in the room rather than the online attendees, which I found disappointing. They're projecting spending $586 million for sewerage compliance in the years ahead. Generally, the rate of return on assets is 6%, which is pretty much the, or, you know, the commercial rate of return that most people are looking for. I don't know what our dividend is. They are working for the GAP to identify communities needing water and sewerage plants, and they've got up to $2.5 billion available to service most such communities. Their focus in the years ahead is about these high-risk sewerage plants in particular. The capital spend for the next 5 years is $2 billion. And finally, yes, the matter that relates to this motion in front of you, they were talking about the installation of these drinking fountains, and the inference was that they were free. Thanks, Damien, from the press, forwarded me last night notice that, in fact, they're asking for EOIs for the second part of this year. And I suggest I put here a motion for one. In fact, I think we should be chasing two. One in Bothwell, probably opposite the information centre, and the other just across the road here. I think they would be good assets, and if we can get them cost-free, well and good. If we can't, I'll make them the subject of a budget submission next year.
Okay, thank you. Second,
Councillor Cassidy. Yes, Mayor and others, I sent everyone an email really this morning with attachments, three attachments. So I sure would like them to be included with this or appended to David's notice of motion. Basically, what I wanted to say is regarding the 15 July 2025 Council meeting agenda, item 8.1, please find attached three letters regarding communications I have had from Tasmania Health Service, Honourable Ministers Guy Barnett and Roger Yench regarding the fluoridation of bottled drinking water. I would like these documents to become part of agenda item 8.1 just to set the record straight. I've known for most of my life that drinking water containing fluoride prevents tooth decay and gum disease. This serves to mitigate heart disease by preventing gum disease. Tasmanians cannot afford to visit the dentist as frequently as they should. Tasmania's health system is in crisis, as we know, due to an aging population and poor health. I believe that providing fluoride in drinking water will facilitate improving health of Tasmanians, reducing the incidence of dental disease and heart disease, thus reducing the load on Tasmania's public health system for very little cost. I first raised this issue in 2017, and again, with TasWater, NRGM, Kim Hossack, in 2023, following up with Tasmania Health Service, Fluoridation Committee, followed by communications to the chairpersons of the Fluoridation Committee, who is the Minister for Health. And we've had three since I began this quest. There have been numerous telephone calls, emails, an article I published in the Mercury newspaper, etc., and I believe also the New York News regarding fluoridation, before receiving a letter from the Honorable Minister Roger Yench confirming ministerial directive had been issued to TasWater. That letter is dated 12 February 2025. I pursued this issue as a concerned citizen, ratepayer, and customer of TasWater, constantly lobbying on this issue and advocating to improve the health of my community. On June 2025, I believe it was obviously before David's meeting, after all my hard work had been done, he had contacted me to ask if he would like me to mention the fluoridation issue at that committee meeting, which I gave him my blessing. And would serve as a reminder to TasWater to get the job done. I just hope this information sets the record straight.
Thank you.
Councillor Orr, you have something? So, this complex had to amend a motion, but should we amend the motion to not only for Councillor Costas, but write to TasWater to install both one at Hamilton and Boston?
Yes.
So how do I go about amending the motion without upsetting the apple cart?
Thank you.
So really, it's Councillor Leach and Councillor Cassidy. What's your thoughts?
I'd be very happy to have that amendment. Yeah.
What's your amendment?
The amendment is so, that the GM goes up.
Actually,
sorry.
The council would write to TasWater to install drinking fountains in Bothwell and Hamilton. Does that sound all right?
Why not Moose? Why not Moose too?
Yeah. Oh, there's nowhere really. Maybe Moose. Maybe.
Councillor Legion, can you say what
there's
you
no
want
way
in your
recommendation? Yeah, look, I'm happy for that to be an amendment to the motion.
Well, to be the motion.
Pursue the installation of three fountains across the three major towns.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm sure Katrina can get the right words there.
Okay, so we've still got the mover, Councillor Leakin, second, Cassidy is the second. It's been amended. Now we can put it for Council to discuss. Councillor Hall, you have a hand up.
This is a question to Councillor Leakin.
You need to be careful not to close the motion.
Don't reply.
Just make this comment, can you?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can suspend standing order.
If we don't need half a dozen chairs, it's difficult enough that the chairs go comfortable.
My question is, who's going to keep this hygienic? I mean, it's a water station. This is just a question that I ask all councillors. This is going to be maintained. It's going to be made hygienic.
Councillor Archer?
I'm very supportive of what Councillor Hall said. I'm very concerned about the potential for vandalism of these sites. You know, every other municipality, an example is they put the waste transfer unit in at Brighton recently with a very large pole and CCTV on it. The pole was cut down and the camera's stolen off the top. If we're going to be doing these things, we need to be doing it somewhere where it's very public and the exposure, I suspect, is the best prediction we can do, but there will be significant vandalism potential for these things. I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but I think we've been very mindful of that and not take on the responsibility for maintenance, because I think that should stay with Tasport. I can see it being a significant cost.
So should council investigate the possibility of our business owners having on their properties?
Well, I think it's more that it's
sort of public,
the very public places where they're under good street lighting.
Yeah.
You know, I think the idea of, you know, you're outside the visitor centre or somewhere like that, it's as good as you'll get. But
yeah. Any other councillors before I go back to the Mervyn Centre? The second has already spoken, sorry, Councillor Cassidy. Not two bites. Any other councillors before I go back?
Well, it's just that, you know, whilst I'm supportive of this motion, I think I want to make it really clear that only if Tasmania assume the maintenance. I don't want to see us lumbered with what I think, will, as Councillor Hall pointed out, would be significant maintenance issues.
Councillor Merchant?
Look,
I heard Councillor Arthur's comments just then.
I'm sorry, I didn't. Anthony,
so what I'm saying is, I think it's a great idea. I think it's terrific, but this is largely done for people who don't have water. I mean, it's a tourism-based thing rather than for
local communities. Yeah.
That's right. And so I don't want to see us lumbered with the maintenance, particularly vandalism issues. But I think if we can get Tasmania to own them and look after them, great. Mm. But if they become a council responsibility, I'm not so supportive.
Yeah, understood. Mayor? Yeah, okay, in relation to this, you'll note the accompanying photos show it being installed on a concrete pad. It would be worth, GM Steve, it would be worth checking out other local authorities and their experience with them. Thank you for the endorsement for up to three. I'd say in relation to hygiene, at the moment, if you want to refill your water bottle, you're probably going into a public toilet and using the tap there, and there's all sorts of hygiene risks involved in that. So thanks for the endorsement around the table for this. Thank you.
So Councillor Merchant has closed the debate. Now I will ask, I'll put the recommendation up, and please I will ask you to raise your hands in favour of the recommendation. Okay, that is carried. Thank you. 8.2 is a notice of council meetings, that is the recommendation that council endorsed me, which was Councillor Emergent talking there, as a representative to the proposed local government learning and development subcommittee. Councillor Emergent, the only concern I have here is that you haven't been on local government for a long time. To be on this representative. Okay. So who would second that? Any seconders? Councillor. Councillor? Okay. Councillor Orr? We'll go with Councillor Orr. Righty. So, Councillor Meacham, would you like to speak to this?
Look, this relates to some correspondence I had with Ben Morris about the learning management system being moved from the Office of Local Government to LEGAT. The OLG is funding only about $10,000 for it. I did have some questions about the operation of it because I have, by virtue of my work experience, I managed the learning management system for UNSW Canberra for about 7 years. The makeup of the committee that's been proposed, and Ben Morris says the call for membership will come in late July. The makeup of the committee is a LEGAT executive. There's only two council representatives, a LEGAT policy person, and a LEGAT staff, or presumably the staff is the person who actually maintains the system. So they're moving from OLG, the matrix system, to Absorb, I think it is, the LEGAT system. I've got 20 years of teaching experience. I've had training and development roles before that. I have a postgrad teaching qualification, and I worked as the director of academic support systems for a number of years.
Okay,
Doug.
Second,
Councillor Allwright. So, learning and development is here to stay. And it's mandated, I think, Steve might be able to help me, that the government have mandated a certain amount of money from each council to go into learning and development to each councillors and some to the deputy mayor and another lot. So, if David, or at least we have a representative on that subcommittee, that we might get something more tailored to our requirements.
I'm not sure what would support totally what you're saying.
Didn't I read that wrong? Didn't the government mandate that $3,000 for every councillor has to be for learning and development? Or did I get that wrong?
I'll have to check it.
Yeah.
No, I can't give an answer.
It was going to be $5,000 for
What's mandated is council laws are to do training.
Training, well, that's what I'm saying. It's here to stay.
Yeah, look, it is here to stay. Yeah.
And, so.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Okay, I've got Councillor Cassidy the Archer.
So, I'm sorry, David, I can't support your motion. I think, I certainly believe that they should put this out to all 300 councillors as an invitation to, or expression of interest, and then select from that. That's point one. The other point that I would like to make is I would really, if I'm going to sit down in front of somebody lecturing me about local government, they better have more than 12 years experience. And the third point that I want to make on this issue, I have spoken to a ratepayer I have a hell of a lot of regard for, about the training and his expectations from councilors and so forth. I explained the learning modules and everything. And he personally felt that we would be better served in a collegial environment where we can discuss and debate and work together in a workshop or workshops. He specifically recommended 4 per year to do these mandatory learning modules. Imagine sitting in isolation in a dark room, pecking away on your keyboard, doing this nonsense. There's a lot of repetitive rubbish in there. And, out of all 300 counselors, I don't know how many have actually completed them or what percentage they have completed, but I'm 100% sure the director of the local government's office would say that of that number, there are still counselors who are making errors of judgment, etc. So, I've had my say.
Thank you.
Just to clarify that point that you raised,
yep.
Council Leashen has put this forward in a time frame so that in case of and when they call for nominations, this council has made a decision.
I still want to vote
on the nominee. Doesn't mean you'll get the gig.
And I think all councillors should be given the opportunity to put their hand up. Councillor Hall.
Yeah, I just want to say that I think education doesn't always produce outcomes, and in fact quite the reverse, and I'm very concerned about the mandating of this very poor policy. I'd be happy to do it with the Minister to set the example. There is the opportunity for parliamentarians to be trained, but I understand that not many of them take it up. And so I think the mandatory nature of this, given the difficulty in attracting good candidates to local government already, sets a very poor example. You know, I've seen people that I know that
off topic.
Well, I've seen people who've completed this course, whose performance, in my view, was lacking, and people who haven't, who I think have performed particularly well. So I, you know, I am opposed to the whole concept of the gap being picking this up, and so I think it's, it would be churlish of me to say, well, I think it's got, I think it'd be a great candidate, David, if we're going to have one, but I don't think it's something we should be pursuing. So,
thank you, Councillor Hall.
When it's made mandatory for the members of Parliament to do this, I will support it, but I am not going to support it when it's only pittance, and for the time that we put in, and for the bit we get out of it, I'm not supportive of it.
Thank you, Councillor
Orr. So it sort of got a bit off topic, because it was actually just if they do have a subcommittee with the but anyway, support having a local, someone local, who, if they have a subcommittee, have someone local.
Okay.
That would be the best outcome for the central line.
Councillor Legion has a right
reply. Look, the discussion has strayed into this whole question about whether or not there is mandatory learning and development. Now, we can sit here like King Canute and proclaim that the tide mustn't rise. The tide will rise anyway. This motion doesn't relate to the online learning and development units. It's about the whole delivery of education, learning and development across all councillors. Now, this has been on the agenda since December of 2023. I feel this is an opportunity for us to shake the conversation down at the LEGAT when it happens, if the submission's good. It's not a foregone conclusion, Robert notes, I think there's 300 councillors across the state. What's the possibility that a couple of people much more adjacent to Hobart nominate? I just want to be available to nominate if it comes up. What else do I need to say? Thank you for those who support, and if I was sitting there, I don't think I'd be able to defeat the whole learning. Oh, that's another thing too. Jim referred to the learning and development obligation I want to speak to Jim's, what Jim said. It's $2,000 per councillor, $3,000 for the deputy mayor and mayor. And it's in the AOLG documentation. So just by way of clarification of what Jim said.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Now,
Councillor
May, to close the debate. And I'll go and list who's for and against with this. The recommendation has been closed by Councillor Manichin. Those who are for, raise your hand. Councillor Forright, Archer, Manichin, and Hall. Those against is Councillor Cassidy, Honour, and myself. Okay, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, so it's carried. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony.
8.3, Councillor Hall, and a recommendation. Moved by Councillor Hall, could I have a seconder, Councillor Honour? And this is to do with Council discussing the facilities at the cricket campground.
This was a budgetary item when I first come on council. We set aside some dollars for this, so this could be a starting process with the change rooms. Just a bit of background, that there are 2 men's teams, 4 junior teams, with female participants. A quote at the moment is barrier fences, trenches have seemed to be left in a bit of a pickle or in a bit of a state. I called a volunteer. They do their own line marking, their own mowing, and I think they've just installed an irrigation system on the grounds.
They're asking, in a conversation, they're asking the Central Highlands, they're asking the Central Highlands councillors, what are we doing? Now, that wouldn't be so bad, Mayor, if I knew what was going on. I don't know what's going on with the Gretna Cricket Ground. I knew that we'd put some money aside for this project. I thought that when we come to council, like major projects, and this was a major project, like 1,000 acre lane road, three quotes. Okay. Now, I've never received any quotes. There's been no communication. Me personally, I'm only speaking for myself. I just feel that foxes are in charge of the chicken coop door. I called a candidate. He said, and I asked him, you know, that would they support this project? Because we've put grants in for this, and we've failed. He said is not interested. Local government is dollar and dime politics. And we are waiting for a grant to come through at the moment. Going back to it is, you know, we've got to be transparent with the community of what's going on. I feel like a village idiot when somebody rings me up and asks me, what's going on, and I don't know.
Okay. All right, I appreciate that, Councillor Hall. I'm going to let the Acting General Manager, Stephen, respond to that, but I just would like you as councillors to be aware that that is one of the commitments I've been approaching all tiers of government, Labor, Liberal and even the Greens, to get something back there for the Gretna Cricket Club rooms. So I might get, and I've been working with Stephen, we've been discussing this in depth, and I might ask Stephen to respond if he wouldn't mind.
I'll go back a bit of history. This was put to a council meeting a long time ago.
Correct.
And it was made quite clear that the development was going to be in the order of $700,000. At that point in time, council decided that they would put in $350,000. Now, it's fairly clear from that point that we weren't going to get what was, or what the community thought they were going to get. We were only going to be funding half of it. I don't know whether the council's view was that the cricket club itself were to pursue the issue and try and get money to help. I don't know. When I came on board, I went through a lot of the capital grant stuff that we were doing. After making numerous inquiries, discovered that $350,000 was likely to get us to something like lock-up stage. That was nowhere near having toilet facilities or change rooms within that building. It therefore was, you know, that's one of the reasons why we went for the grant in the first instance. We didn't get it. We spent a bit of money in getting someone to give us all the details that's required to show the cost benefit of having this development at Gretna, and we put a grant application in based on that. Now, the application is for about $500,000, just a fraction thereover, and therefore the development will come in the order of $800,000. There have been other options that were looked at earlier in the piece, and they were relocatable type function, structures. I've actually been back to that company and they're quite prepared to give me a quote. Now the quote that they're likely to give me is in the order of $650,000 to do something smaller but functional. But what we need to do now is just wait to find out whether we do get this grant. And I've spoken to the same politician that I think Councillor Hall has spoken to. As of Friday, his view in regards to this has changed quite dramatically. So I would like to think in the conversations that I've had and the Mayor's had, we've asked them, whoever gets in, to support the application for the grant that we've currently got in there, and hopefully that will be the case, but don't know. But that's where it sits.
And it was all on, but also a radio said radio, preventative radio, and it didn't name any Dirt Valley News, and Seven Islands News, I believe it was in the Caribbean Digest. So it, we're not leaving it alone, we're working with it, we're for it, I should say. So we can only keep going to the best of our ability. Councillor Cassidy, you had something to say?
Yes. So in response to John's motion, I just want to say, John, that the near 12 years I've served on council, I never feel like I'm a village idiot, as you put it, or uninformed, where I cannot obtain information on my own. I will always refer a member of the public to either the mayor or the general manager, or in this case, acting general manager. Now, I want to reinforce the previous position. These learning modules and all of this mandatory prep doesn't teach that kind of judgment. Okay, so I just want to say, if we have any questions that we cannot answer as councilors, I just simply refer to the mayor or the general manager or acting general manager in this case.
Yeah. Sorry, Councillor Honour, you were the seconder and I missed you. No, Councillor Honour's the seconder.
Oh,
I should have listened to her earlier.
Well,
sorry.
Right.
You'll get to
the order. Yeah, right.
Councillor Honour, apologies. You were the seconder. Did you have anything about this?
I think it's something that really needs to be followed up because they really do need proper change rooms in that.
Certainly do.
So this has been going on for a number of years, but as Councillor Cassidy said, I don't think Council Halls would feel like they did it. No, I'm supporting what you're saying because he feels that he should be able to refer a member of the public to someone who knows. That's who I was approached by a member of that team. I found out what was going on and I said, Council's not going to, and we had a discussion about this, Council is not going to make a decision until after we know the outcome of the grant application. And that is what it is. Another point I'd like to make, Mayor, when we know the outcome of the grant application, we probably need to have more discussion. This sort of probably needs to be deferred till then, we've got to make a hard choice. That went away with grant applications for probably 10 years. They've got nowhere. Six teams down there, one of the most successful sporting teams in the Central Highlands. So we might have to bite the bullet and find the money ourselves if we can.
Yeah,
if we don't get the grant, that will be a discussion for the council.
I think so. I think we should, because there's not only teams, there's campers, there's so many people that would like to use the recreation ground.
Well, this is more to do with changing rooms rather than use of
the facilities as well, though. It's like the Bosport Community Centre when we had those campers come up and stay. There was dollars for council in that, quite a few dollars.
I think that would be a minor use, though. So but nevertheless, it's a discussion.
It wouldn't be so rude, Councillor, in my opinion. Yeah. It's cost effective if we do the right thing and get this done and pay this paper. Councillor Cassidy.
Yeah, I just want to say one last thing. The recreation grounds in Bothell, for example, that was originally, the number that was thrown out was $80,000. We put over $1.5 billion into that rec center at Bothell. So I would expect a very similar outcome. We're saying right now $700,000. I don't think that's going to cut it. And how do we expect the community to come up with that kind of money? How much should we raise the rates?
Alright. Any other councillors before I get Councillor Hall to close?
Yes, I'm only addressing an issue, what I have read, what's been put in front of me, which I've seen on social media. I'm not sweeping it under the carpet. I'm informing the community where we're at. I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. It's an issue that's got to be addressed.
It does. All right, thank you. All right. So now I shall ask for a raise of hands in favour of the recommendation that the council discuss the facilities which were done. Okay, those in favour raise your hands.
So what's actual motion?
The motion I just read to you.
Just as written a cricket ground chamber, so there's no motion attached to that.
It's a recommendation that we discuss.
Discuss.
Okay. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Alright, it is carried. Notice of motion, Councillor Cassidy. Okay, Councillor Cassidy has moved. Can I have a second to close that motion? Councillor Hall. Councillor Cassidy, would you like to discuss the motion?
Well, I think I've probably set enough on the issue. I firmly believe these learning modules, so, you know, think about folks who are not computer literate, they do not have reliable internet connection, et cetera, et cetera. How are they expected to comply with these mandates that keep coming down from the state government? And that's why I feel that conducting them in a workshop in a collegial environment, supportive environment, where we're all working together, where we can discuss them, we can even have mock council meetings, etc. I think that's the best space to progress our professional development. And it should be led by the most senior and most experienced counselors. And we haven't had that as long as I've been on council. I really feel that the most experienced counselors should be nurturing, mentoring the least experienced. But beyond that, again, I believe the best space for this would be four workshops throughout the, four workshops in here, just to be professional. That's good enough for me, and I'll have enough to say about that.
Thank you, Councillor Cassidy. I'm pleased you put this one up. Councillor Ward.
I agree with what Councillor Cassidy said, then there's people in the Lakes that may become a candidate or a councillor, and they may not get the correct internet services, and it probably should be run in an environment once or twice a year to keep everybody up to date. I agree with what Robert said, I think.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, we've always been free to do these modules and workshops. In fact, Diana Christine, in relation to Learning Package 3, she specifically said we should do them in workshops. We don't need home PCs and internet connection. I did a number of the modules on this. On mine is wholly deficient wireless network, so a home PC is not really that necessary. The reporting of progress in modules was a clear recommendation in each iteration of the Future of a Local Government review, including its final report, which was December 2023. I twice prompted us to do these modules in workshop. That wasn't taken up. In January, I asked that council only note that the OLG and LEGAP processes, the movement of them, I lost that motion 7-1. And that was only a matter of noting the report. It wasn't even an endorsement of anything, just note the report. If you look at the Future of Local Government Review recommendations, it would bring us into line with WA, South Australia, Victoria, and Victoria. Learning and development, as I said earlier, in the next term of council, we'll all be required to complete a personal learning and development program. I think it's to be completed in the first year, and that's with the GM. I maintain that there's nothing intuitive about financial management. There's nothing intuitive about meeting procedures. This is formal knowledge that it really is worthwhile being exposed to. And I put it to you, if you had developed a business with assets of $128 million, which is what we have, and a $10 million a year budget, wouldn't you be requiring some formal knowledge on the part of the directors or the managers involved?
Okay.
And finally, yes, we cannot, like Kim Knut, sit here and command the tide not to rise, it will rise anyway.
All right, Councillor.
So, workshops don't work, and it's going to be expensive. We've had numerous workshops on planning requirements, on meeting procedures. David Morris comes up at the beginning of every council term. Gives us the same planning advice, gives us the same meeting procedure advice. So what do we get in the outcome? We've got the debacle that was Jones's Road. We've got the mayor on with a PID. They don't work, and it's going to be expensive. That's my view on lukewarm.
Any other councillors before I get Councillor
Cassidy to
close?
Councillor Archer. Yeah, I think a spoken mirror's mayor, I've got no time for this stuff. I'm completely opposed to what David has to say about professional development. I think that there is no merit in us investing any more time in the training exercises. I think I've gained more from one council meeting conducted by the current acting GM than all the training exercises that we've had with David Morris and others. I believe that life skills have a lot to offer, and in my view we should be getting on with the business of council, not the business of further educating councillors at their time expense. You know, there's a real cost in this in terms of income foregone, because while we're here we're not earning a dollar. You know, we're paid very low rates for our time. And my view is that we're far better to be spending the time getting on with council business than being taught how to do what we already do well. And there is an assumption behind all this that we're not doing it well now. And I'm afraid that I don't endorse that. I think, are there exceptions? Absolutely. But generally we get it pretty right. And I don't think we need to be investing too much time, particularly for meetings a year, in terms of just doing what we're already doing pretty well. So I'm very opposed to the motion there.
Thank you. Alrighty, so back to Councillor Cassidy for closing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So, David was pointing out about financial management or the works, the module on that. Look, I believe that in a workshop we gain far more from sitting around the table with spreadsheets in front of us and Zisha explaining them to us. That's practical application. This rubbish about these learning modules is all theoretical. Now, that's the problem that Jim doesn't quite get, is that this, if they're among 300 councillors who have completed some or all of these learning modules, are still making mistakes or whatever. Number one, they're human. But secondly, harking back to what the ratepayer told me, that's the difference between theoretical and practical application. Okay? This, what we're doing today, is practical application.
Okay. All right. So the debate is closed. So Councillor Cassidy can move on. So I will ask for a call and go into the recommendation.
Those for the recommendation, please raise your hand. Councillor Cassidy.
Didn't have to vote for it.
Those for the recommendation, please raise your hands. Councillor Cassidy and myself. Those against. Is Councillor Allwright, Archer, Honour, Leachin and Hall. So that goes through.
I guess you guys prefer to sit down and do learn modules. Have a...
Okay, so number 9 we skip there. Number 9.1 we have done. We go to... Okay, 11. Monthly mayoral and elected members' activity. A mover, Councillor Honour and Councillor Meacham. Any comments there, Councillor Honour? Councillor Meacham?
No, no comments.
Councillor Laws? All right. Okay, and you have your commitments. During the commitments, no, what was missed out was an agenda item title with mayoral announcements. So we're going to, I've spoken with Katrina, and we're going to pop that in now as an agenda item. I spoke to Stephen about this. Of course, I do have an announcement, and it's positive news. Read Ash Cottage, Catch.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I only found out last night. Within the first 100 days, if it's a re-elected Liberal government, they will work with Hatch and Neighbourhood Houses to develop the best module of ongoing support. We have to be careful here that we're not campaigning. But this is something that I, you know, want you to know where we are with this. Transitional funding can be available if needed ahead of Ash Cottage reaching the anticipated full neighbourhood house status. So I think that it's important I contact Dean Winter and request he matches this. You know, if we can do the best we can with that one, so I think we'll, you know, up for councillors to comment on that one. So, any comments, Councillor
Leach? That's good news. I particularly endorse going to the Labor Party and checking out, looking for the same, because as things stand, it looks like that's that'd be the one seeking to form a minority government. So, well done. Good luck.
We'll be moving with that then. Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, Madam Mayor, you know, the Liberal Party come out and, you know, promise you anything at this point. There's nothing short of a pork barreling. But I fully agree that you should talk to the opposition. But, you know, after the election, they'll do what the hell they want. I don't trust a word they say.
Understood, Gaston.
They only care about the city, and that's it.
Any other comments, Councillor? So we'll go back to the move, Councillor Arnold. Closed. Okay. The recommendation. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hands. Okay. Operational Health and Wellbeing Plan, move it
to Councillor
Meacham. Second, Councillor
Wright.
Any comments, Councillor
Meacham? Oh, just a very endorsing of CAT in terms of particularly the grant seeking. I think this is very promising and she's very capable. Thank you.
Councillor
Councillor Wright, second.
No, just endorsing it. I mean, I do note that she's made a comment about the Gretna over application.
Yeah.
Response expected late August.
Okay, so the
councillor's going to Archer. Yeah, I noticed that they've referred to the first payment for the Clyde development on the River Clyde to be received. Does that go to council? Who does the fund go to? Or does it go to?
Unfortunately, it comes to us and we have to forward it on because we're the applicant.
We're the applicant.
I've tried to hold on.
That would be very helpful. It would be nice to know what actually happens with the first round of the grant. I noticed.
Yeah, I had that same view. We wanted a bit of control, so we knew how it would go.
Exactly.
We wanted the applicant. It only washes through us.
So now apply that.
Councillor Cassidy.
Oh, yes, I noticed earlier on page 22 on your CATS. Information that she's provided about the Community Development Action Crew Roving Reporter Project. I just want to acknowledge Kat and the kids and the adults that were working with the children there. If anybody has a chance to look at that video and the way the kids interviewed the adults, it was really great. And I just want to congratulate
Kat.
It was excellent. Well done.
Yeah, I congratulated
Kat
on that. That was fantastic.
Councillor Ora. Just in response to Councillor Archer's comment, I think there's a, in the Durham Catholic report, it actually says that they've got the money now to start mapping.
Yeah, they're spending on LIDAR, it says, but there's also a thing that I didn't understand in the Catholic report.
Yeah.
Where they're requesting grants for $13,000 to produce a podcast. I imagine that's not associated with this, it's about resilience grant, but I'm not sure whether they're applying a cap. It wasn't clear in the report as to whether they're expecting a council contribution or whether that's to be externally funded.
I can't believe it, but I do see that. I mean, if you want to move that we invite someone to talk to council, do you want to do that?
I don't think it'd be a bad thing.
Well, I have a recommendation here that the report be resilient.
So we're just actually doing this motion, but out of this motion, can we invite the attachment
to talk to
us?
Yeah. We can just take that as a
do that for the next one.
Okay. I'll do that for the next one.
So we'll go with the recommendation we have on the table. Councillor Meacher, would you like to close?
No, nothing to add.
Alrighty. So the recommendation, those in favour of, please raise your hands. Anyone against? No, that is carried.
I looked at their addendum and couldn't see where the application was to try and get to the bottom of why they were wanting over twice what was requested last time. It's probably there in the paper, Stephen, is it? I'm sure the application's there.
Quite clearly, they've gone through, and I assume that they made a loss in last year's, and that's why they made an application.
They're looking at the application for the final.
Yeah.
Alright, got a lot of time.
Can we hear Grattan?
Sorry, Stephen.
Look, I would assume that basically last year they made a shortfall and they've got greater participation, so that's the reason why they're asking for more funds.
Councillor Cassidy has moved. Would you like to speak to this?
Well, they've already spoken to it. I think, it brings folks to town. Brings money to town. Visitors, tourists. It's a good thing. God bless you.
Councillor Palmer, the second.
No, one thing, it's a very good call. Alrighty, Councillor Lawrence, any comments? Councillor Orr?
So I think we've got to work hard to encourage community groups, and we've already had discussion about the previous motion about being a bit more generous to what we have generally been, and we want these towns to grow. We've got to help.
Any other councillors' comments? No? Alright, I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. That was slow, Councillor
Archer? It was, yeah, no, it's long. A lot of money people are going to play.
Oh, I was thinking of guys with you, yes. Okay, the hands again, please, councillors. Alright, that is carried. Bill 3, Community Grant Request, Oak Federation, I in that. Councillor Orr, Councillor
Mitchell. Councillor Orr, it is a very worthwhile day to go and participate in it.
Okay, Councillor Mitchell, second up.
It's a 3-day event and it comes in at that just after that tourism peak over summer, so it sustains that peak for 3 days. In terms of return on investment, I think this one's already sold one. Yeah. 3 days of tennis. We've got 30, besides the pub and the lodge, we've got 32 Airbnbs in the district. That they get filled by this event, it pays off handsomely. And the $2,000 I think through the restaurant is well supported. In the agenda. Thank you.
Yeah, and what does
$2,000?
The $2,000 go towards.
Councillor
Archer would like to know what the.
It's in the attachments. They enumerate everything in the attachments.
Yeah.
I could say that I'll find.
Can you summarise for me, Robert, if you can tell me?
Oh, Christ, I can't remember the exact numbers, but it goes for various things, including the performance. I think I seem to recall like $4,200 for the performance. That's just one of the numbers, but I think all up we're spending like about $10,000 on this thing. Mm-hmm. So we're just asking the council to offset a bit of it. $2,000 is damn reasonable.
Thank you.
It's in the attachments. I don't know.
Yeah, it is in the attachments.
Yeah. 972.
The organisation is managed by a committee of 4 people. The president is Mr. Griffin, and VP Jay Hickey, treasurer, Kay McLeod, communications, C. Rear.
So, what do you want to find?
I'm just trying to see what benefit it is to the whole community.
It's good financial.
How the project benefits the community. Does all the businesses will benefit. Opportunity to enjoy public concert and bush dance. Encourage young people to enjoy the music. An application for Capital Hill Community Fund will include dollars for new spotlights. There's a stage at the Great Lake Community Centre that needs to be discussed with this council team. Improve the delivery of concert and bush bands. So that's basically what it's about. So any other comments, councillors? Okay, I'll put the recommendation forward. Sorry, Councillor, did you need to close?
No, it's just a well worthwhile weekend to go through. It was very uplifting time last year.
Thank you. Alrighty, so I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour, please raise your hands. Those anyone against? This goes to the archer. Alrighty, so that goes to the 12.4 is the community donation request to apply this to. Sabrina has left the room again. Convict. Should have had that promoted earlier, right? Okay, donation of 500 to Reptile Rescue. You're moving, Captain Martin. Second of place. Captain Aura. Captain Martin, would you have a lot to talk to this?
Got an unusual slant on this one. It was the subject, I think, at our last meeting, and it was raised by Councillor Miller as to what we do and don't support. Now, while I've endorsed this motion, I am not actually in favour of it, because I think the local benefit in relation to this, our prime responsibility is to this LGA, and I think the impact, it's a statewide service. I sit ready to be convinced that it has a strong local impact.
Councillor
Horrocks. So I'm a bit lukewarm as well, but society shifted like the days of chopping snake is gone, right? We've now got to get someone qualified to go and remove them. You know, snake in your wood chip. Oh, no one even cared before. The side changed. I haven't been two minds. Look at it. I'll be look forward to other comments.
Councillor
Archer. Mayor, I think we should contribute to it. I have been concerned by what I understand have been large charges rendered against people who have called the service. My understanding was basically a free service, but I've heard of people having to pay or be asked to pay significant sums for the removal. So I think there needs to be some trade-off. It's okay for council to provide the base level, if that's okay, but if services are required in our municipality, then the first 5 call-outs are free or something like that. And it needs to be tied, in my view, to... exactly, for people not being charged too much for what I think is, you know, a very helpful service. I'm supporting the service, but I am concerned that in addition to this, there are large call-out fees, and I don't think that's reasonable, particularly for many residents in our area that are disadvantaged.
Is this some guy that comes to bushfires?
No, there's another one. I think there's up to 5 people in that area.
Yeah, there's 5 people.
Yeah, I think it's the same one. I'm not sure I have to ask Katrina. Sorry, Councillor Cassidy, I missed you.
I don't know, do I have a negative pecuniary interest? Is there such a thing? Look, I actually had a large tiger snake, whatever the hell it was, a large venomous snake in the yard, and discovered by my wife when she was putting out compost into the bins. So called this reptile rescue, charged me $50, took 45 minutes to get there, and never did catch the snake. I took photographs of the snake the next day and sent it to him. Didn't bother coming. I wouldn't support these guys because I think it's a ripoff. That's where I come.
And we have had snakes out here at the door at the chambers in the mayor's office, so it's certainly been through around here. Any other comments, Councillors?
I'm wondering if we should consider amending the motion. I'd just like to gather some support around the room to see if there's some support for suggesting that this money go towards, you know, the first 10 call-outs in the highway.
But you'd have to know what their actual policy is before you could actually.
Well, you're not supposed to charge in 50 bucks.
Councillor Meakin, did you amend this motion?
I'm happy to amend the motion in line with. I'm very happy to amend the motion in line with Councillor Archie's suggestion.
Can you give me something?
That it be subject to 3 call outs to the initial, 10 call outs for those in the LGA?
10 free call outs, that would be. Yeah, 10 free call outs.
10?
Councillor Meakin,
your
recommendation is
there should be 8 free call funds.
Okay, Councillor Meakin has the floor.
That the granting of this $500 be subject to 10 free call outs being provided to the LGA per annum.
Well, they don't. That doesn't give me any wriggle room. That's what I'm saying, for admin or anything like that. Someone's got to pay a phone bill. So we should be 8 free, possibly.
We have that so much per meter of St. Claude.
Okay,
let's
can we concentrate on who the speaker is at the moment? That was Councillor Meakin, who closed.
Give me a nod on 10.
Debate is closed.
Some for their running costs.
It's
10. Thank you.
Let's not be disruptive. Okay, the recommendation. Those in favour, please raise your hand.
So this is the new recommendation.
Yes.
Okay, so let me record who's for. Councillor, obviously, Meakin. Councillor Art, Councillor Allwright. Alrighty, those against is Councillor Hall, Cassidy, Honour, and Triffitt. So it doesn't go, it's lost.
So there is no donation?
No donation. No. Okay.
Okay. 13 is operational matters. Okay, Councillor Honour moved, Councillor Hall second. Councillor Honour, any comments?
Now they're doing a good job considering the road conditions at the moment.
Yes. Second, Councillor Hall, any comments?
This was Tony Bailey's passion.
Yes.
And he'll be sadly missed because this was Tony's forte right here.
Tony
was on top of his position.
Yeah, it's not like the conversation we had. It wasn't a foul or anything else in our place with Tony about. Alrighty, councillors, any comments? So, to close the debate, Councillor Bond.
Congratulations to the men on the job that they're doing.
Alrighty. Thank you. So now I'll raise hands for those in favour of that recommendation. Okay, that is carried. 13.2 is the common seal. That's moved by Paul, moved by Councillor Connor, second Councillor Meakin. Any comment, Councillor?
No.
Councillor Meakin?
No, it's straightforward. Very straightforward.
Councillor? Councillor Connor close? Yes, all good. All good. Okay. Those in favour, raise your hands, please. Okay.
It'd be good if we could get Jason along to tell us some of these things. You know, there's $400,000 we've just voted on there. Half a million bucks there.
Well, you can do that. You can ask the guests to come to the next meeting if you can. So I'll call you on the phone.
Yeah.
Okay. Furniture is very common seal next to Water Road. I'm asking for the street that is one. I've got that comment, Steve.
You tell me all about
it. I've got a note there.
Well,
what
were
you
asking?
That might have been a bit of an extension onto something else on the
one
on the right. Well, it's just the same money as $400,000.
Anything you could add?
This one we've already received the funds. We've already got the money for this grant.
Ah, yeah. That's why I had a little note. Okay, thank you. We'll move
on. Councillor Connor. So which one was this one?
13.3. 13.3.
Jim, second.
Any comments, Councillor?
Yes.
No. Councillor Hall?
No, Mayor, no.
Councillor Wolf?
No.
Those in favour of that recommendation, please raise your hands. Okay, that is carried. Then 4.4 is a common seal again. No, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. Councillor Cassidy, any comments?
No.
Councillor Honour is a seconder?
No.
Councillor Laws, Councillor Meakin?
Yeah, I'm very interested. This 2x portable shower and toilet facilities. Considering the freeze event last year that knocked out so many plumbing systems on the central plateau, it would be good to have these available as community facilities. I raised this in audit and had real problems getting it seriously considered. Now we have these facilities. If we have another blow-up event like we had last year, and I lost plumbing for 6 weeks, there were others who lost it for even longer, and portable showers and portable toilets, there were no public toilets available at that time, but all frozen and blown up. So I'm very glad to see this happen.
Very good. Councillor, all right. And then
so I'm assuming that Council have carriage of the definition of emergency, because if we've got an overflowing camping now, for example, and removable toilets, that might be classified as an emergency in the same light as fire, for example, but presumably we could have carriage of that.
Yeah, I looked into this last year when we were having all sorts of hassles at Maina with the freezing and stuff, and there's an item called an Incinolate Model TR, which is a heated disposal toilet that may be worth investigating further for those occurrences in the Highlands. They require a power heating source, but they use them in Antarctica, so they're not a problem as far as cold temperatures go. And they may be something that we would want to explore for another round of grants, but particularly for emergency conditions in the Highlands.
Can you ask if we're going to have any of the options?
Well, as a matter of fact, I've seen some over the last 4 months.
Any other councillor comments? Councillor Cassidy has moved. Would you like to close?
Nothing to say, ma'am.
Thank you. Okay, I'll put the recommendation forward. Those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand. That is carried. Order operational, order for a 1 month of finance report, you may read, I hope. Order 1.2, put the recommendation. Oh yeah, 14.2, Councillor Hall has left the room. Good. Rate relief requests, moved by Councillor Honour. The second was Councillor Meakin.
Yep.
Okie dokie. Councillor Honour, any comments on this?
No, it's something that we've been doing now for a number of years, and I think it should continue.
Okay, as the second, Councillor Mitchell.
Well, this kind of community club is the great hub of the youth community, and I'm very happy to see this happen.
Councillor Willis, any comments?
Yeah, I'm wondering whether we should rebate all the rates. It just seems to me that it's a pretty useful community asset there, and we're rebating part of it. Now, I wonder if what the feeling around the table would be for rebating all the rates, or is there a part that is generating income that shouldn't be rebated? I'd just like a little bit more discussion on the matter, really.
Just looking at
their
books, I couldn't tell you, but the thing is, I don't think they're going to approach the fact that they're going to remit all their rates.
No. I can't see them being too disappointed. It just seems to me that it's a pretty worthwhile community facility.
Yeah, for your knowledge, going back a while, there was some community issues to do with the club, and they didn't support council granting permission. So that's probably
why this is. I'm suggesting we have an amendment there and reduce it, basically to be reviewed annually, but for the next 12 months we rebate the whole rate.
Can I answer it?
Yes.
The reason why it only shows certain percentage is because it's an actual cost to council, so they don't get a remission on the fire levy or anything like that.
Oh, I see.
Because council's actually charged that.
Fair enough. Okay. Now, well, I'm happy to go along with the current motion then. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor.
Thanks for the clarification.
Councillor Cassidy?
No. I'm fine. So I'm just going to suck it as a moment.
Oh. Councillor Allwright, yeah.
So, where have we landed? That the half rate, rebate 50% of the rate, that's to cover like garbage and rates. Is that garbage and filing? Is that about it? Is that what I understand? Yeah. So, I mean, the actual bowls, the clubhouse, so that part of there is actually cancelled. What do we do with the football club? Do we rate them by fire rate?
I don't know. I presume so.
Do we rate the Gretna cricket ground? So maybe we should be treating them all the same.
By the way, this is the one we're going to deal with at the moment.
Yeah, I know, but I still think Councillor Archer's original proposal has merit, even though there's some cost. Council covers the cost of the fire rate and the garbage rate for Gretna and Mothwell football.
Well,
I notice though that we're only subsidised, the general rate was 1,079, of which we've been asked to subsidise 539, but in addition to that, the garbage rate and fire levy are charged separately. So of a subtotal of 1,795, we're only providing relief on 539. I would have thought we could provide relief on 1,079.
Basically, the motion then should read that
the general rate be
the general rate.
Yes, but
on
not
both properties.
On both properties.
Yeah.
Just the general rate.
The general rate, which would be $1,079 rather than $539.
Yeah.
And it would be $963 rather than $481.
We just say that we remit the general rate on both.
Correct. That's right. Exactly. And so our contribution would be double what is requested.
Yeah.
But
Councillor Honour, that would be an amendment from you. Is that okay by you?
That's fine.
Councillor Major.
Yes. Councillor Major, you're the second vote.
Yes, 100% amendment.
Sorry. 100% general rate. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, all right,
everyone will be aware I'm very concerned about our finances and how we spend them, but I think this is a worthy change.
Well, we've got to.
We'll note that in the future.
Nah.
Okay,
Councillor
Cassidy, thank you for
that. Yeah, so maybe Anthony's got a point. Perhaps we ought to be looking at the record.
Can we stick to this motion?
Yeah, I know. But
no. It's to this motion. If we want to do that, we'll bring it up to another meeting.
Okay, the motion, Councillor Honour's closed, mm-hmm. Now debate closed, and those in recommendation for this particular marker recommendation, please raise your hand in favour. In favour, everybody, carry on. Recommendation.
So I've moved that in addition to inviting like Josie Reeve to come and give us a progress report on the Clyde and any other projects I've got.
So what we'll do, Councillor Wright, is include it onto this.
Yeah, include it on that. That's what I thought.
Recommend that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Councillor
Honour,
are you happy with that?
Yeah, I was going to ask Councillor Honour as a seconder. All right, councillors, any comments? All right, back to Councillor Wright to close.
All done. Thank you.
Those in favour, raise your hands. Carry. Won't be long as lunch is arrived. Radio, or 16, we've done that one. 16.1, we have done that one. We go to 17, which is operational. And 17.1 is Networks of Southern Domain Councils. Yeah. I have a mover. Councillor Cassidy, seconded the police, Councillor Hall. Alrighty, Councillor Cassidy, as a mover, would you like a comment? No comment. Councillor Hall, no. Councillor Hall, any comments?
We're talking about 17.1?
Yes.
Yeah, my suggestion, Mayor, would be that we suck it and see, that we go into this arrangement for 12 months, and as we would do normally, we review it. I think it's worthwhile giving it another year and see if there can't be some positive changes. But after that, if things don't improve, then we take our bat and ball and go home. I note that the Yuniop Valley Council have already pulled the pin and others, but I do think we should give it one more year and just see how we go.
That would be an amendment?
No, I think we'll get the chance to review it anyway, just general discussion.
That's
okay. Councillor Cassidy, do you close?
Yeah,
nothing more. Okay, those in favour of the recommendation, please raise your hand. Carried. Item consideration of supplementary agenda items to the agenda. The recommendation for 19.
Yeah.
Recommendation, but pursuant to Regulation 15.1 of the Local Government Leading Service Regulation 2015, Council by absolute majority closed the meeting to the public to consider the following matters in closed session. Will be 2.1 confirmation of minutes June, 4.1 is rate condition. 4.2 is the update general manager. 4.3 is recruitment option general manager.
Do you want Just a quick remark, Mayor. Does that mean that we're excluding the gallery now? If we do this once we've had lunch, can the gallery still stay and have lunch with us?
Yes, right. Yes, the gallery can stay and then we're going to close.
Good, as long as we understand that, that'd be great.
That's good. The mover was Councillor Honor, the second to Councillor Meacham. Councillor Honor, any comments?
No.
Councillor Meacham?
No comments, no.
Those in favour? Raise your hands. Thank you. Carry. We'll have lunch. We'll have half an hour lunch. What's the time of this? 12:15 to resume. Thank you. So we reopen at 1:13. Public number 21, public release announcements. The chairperson announced that pursuant to Regulation 15.8.9 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures, Regulation 2015, and having considered privacy and confidential issues, the Council will authorise the release to the public of the following discussions, decisions, reports and documents relating to the closed meeting. Item 2.1 is that the minutes be confirmed. 4.1, that permission was granted. 4.2, that the information be received. 4.3, that the information be received. Thank you, everyone. It's been a pretty tough meeting, and I declare the meeting closed at 1:15. Thank you.